we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, now hear these words from Lamentations chapter 3. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. Would you pray with me? And so, Lord Jesus, here we are. And with each individual person in this room, there is a unique burden that was carried into this place. Some heavier than others, for sure. And yet we've come into this room to remember that whatever is heavy that we are carrying, it is not the full story of what's going on in our lives and around us. For we have come to remember that you are good and that your steadfast love for us is never ceasing and that your mercies are new every single morning, even this morning, oh God. And so would you encourage every heart in this place with the goodness of your presence? Would you strengthen us where we are weak? Would you give us a song to sing? Would you give us the patience to wait on you, oh God, to do whatever beautiful thing it is you are doing? And would you give us the faith to hold on to your hand as you walk us through whatever season of life we are in? We are here, oh God, to worship you. We are here to encounter you. We are here to glorify your holy name. May all of that happen in this place and even more. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 15, verse 21. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Would you pray with me? So, Father, we turn to your word. It's just a verse. It's just a name. But this name is in this verse for a reason. And so would you open our hearts to your spirit who wants to speak to us. Help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever found yourself going about an ordinary day and all of a sudden you're caught up in some kind of drama that you never saw coming? Some of you are like, every day, that is the story of my life. Ever had what would be like a Forrest Gump moment? I mean, this is his entire life story, right? This ordinary guy going about life as usual who just keeps ending up in the right place at the right time to be this eyewitness to these events that just keep changing history. Throughout that movie, there's tons of them, but it starts when he's a little bitty boy and Elvis Presley stays in his house. Remember that? Elvis isn't even known yet, and Forrest, with his little braces on his legs, teaches Elvis his dance moves that I'm not going to try to do up here because I will mess it up. From Elvis Presley, after that, he goes to college. He wins, that helps the Alabama football team win the championship. They get to go to the White House where they meet John F. Jr. And in that place, he's more excited about the Dr. Pepper supply than the president. He goes to Vietnam. In Vietnam, he gets injured. While he's rehabilitating from his injury, he takes up ping pong. Remember? It's such a good movie. Becomes really good at ping pong. Ends up going from, sent from the U.S. to China to play. Becomes a champion. After that, he's on a talk show. Meets John Lennon. Inspires his song Imagine. And after that, President Nixon invites Forrest Gump to come and visit him in the White House. And Nixon, trying to help him out, says, I'm going to let you stay in the nicer hotel than what people normally stay in. And that night in his hotel, he looks out the window and sees the building across the way, some shady business going down, some guys with flashlights rummaging through some things. He calls security to check it out. The very next scene, Nixon is resigning from office. This man thinks he's just living this normal life. He just keeps getting these front row seats to events that change history. Have you ever been in the right place at the right time to at least see history or to maybe change how some story might go? Were you ever at a game where a record was broken? Or you were on the other end of a phone call when the person talking to you was about to make a terrible decision. And over the course of your conversation, they changed their mind. Have you ever seen a musician live before they became famous? Have you ever been part of saving a life? Maybe you're the one that called 911. Or administered CPR, or just the one that yelled, hey, watch out, before something happened. Simon of Cyrene has quite this story of one who was in the right place at the right time to play a part in something that absolutely changed the history of the entire world. Now, what do we know about Simon of Cyrene? The answer is not much. He's from Cyrene. That is northern Africa. Be like modern day Libya. And so we know that he's a foreigner in Jerusalem. We're not quite sure why he's in Jerusalem. It could be that he is a Jewish man. There was a Jewish community in Cyrene. And maybe like many others, he's traveled there for the week of Passover. And yet his sons' names, Alexander and Rufus, isn't that a good name? Any Rufuses in the room? Rufus. These are Gentile names. And so it's like, well, maybe he's not Jewish, in which case we really have no idea why he's in Jerusalem. The truth is, we're just not really certain who Simon of Cyrene was. He could be anyone. But we can be pretty sure that he has not been at Jesus's trial in Jerusalem that day. We can be pretty sure that he was not in the crowd of people that were shouting out, "Free Barabbas, crucify Jesus." From this one little verse we get, it seems more likely that he just doesn't have a clue of what's going on this Friday. Mark says that Simon of Cyrene was just a passerby, just passing by on his way into town from the country. So what is he doing in the country? We don't know. Putting in a day's work, perhaps. Maybe visiting friends. Maybe he had some business to attend to out there. You know, all those normal things that fill up our normal days. And it says that he's heading into the city of Jerusalem. Why? We don't know why. Perhaps to get some supplies for that job he might be working in the country. Maybe he's got a letter that he needs to send back home to his wife in Cyrene, and the post office is in Jerusalem. Maybe he's got taxes to pay. Maybe he's taking his boys to lunch. You know, he's just doing the normal things that we do when we make a trip from the country to the city on any ordinary day. He's passing by. He's not looking for any drama. He's probably wanting to avoid any detours. He's got things to do. He's got places to be. He's got another normal day to get through until everything becomes anything but normal. He hears the screams from the crowds, the jeers and the cheers. And from somewhere in the midst of the crowd, he hears those screams of pain. He hears the cracks of a whip. He hears something heavy that keeps hitting the ground, the moaning and the groaning and the shouting and the laughing. What's going on? So Simon navigates his way through the mob of people to where he can get front row seats and see what it's all about. And there he is, Jesus, bloody and bruised and beaten to a pulp. And under this cross that he is dragging with him, gasping for every breath, that thorny crown on his head falls down. He struggles to get back up and he falls down again. Simon sees those Roman guards and they're conversing amongst themselves. They look worried. Pilate has ordered that this man be crucified. And if he dies under their watch before he gets to the cross, these guards are going to be in for it. He's supposed to be put on public display. That's what it's all about. And there is very little life left in him. So they've got to figure out, what are they going to do? What is the plan going to be to make sure that this man gets on that cross? One of the guards' eyes meets the eyes of Simon. Him, the guard points. Why him? Why? Is it because he's a foreigner? Foreigners are always easy to pick on. Is it because his skin has a darker tone than the folks around him, a target for suffering for so many years? Is it the dirty clothes from working in the fields? They judge him as poor, which in their minds means disposable. Or could it be that he actually looks sympathetic? Like this one might be willing to help. We don't know why, but they choose him. You, come here. Get under this man's cross and carry it until we say so. Plain old Simon, on what he thought was just another ordinary day, now finds himself standing under the cross of Jesus, touching with his own fingers the blood of Jesus that had already covered that cross, taking the burden of Jesus upon himself for just a few steps, for 100 yards. We don't know how far. But in that moment, there he was on this day that changed history forever, walking in the footsteps, caring for the heart, placing on his very own shoulders the cross of our Jesus. What does this story say to us? A people who also are walking with this Jesus. I mean, it's just a verse. Does it say anything to us? I'm a preacher, so I've got a few things from one verse. I think, well, if Simon could sit here today, right here in our midst, I have this hunch that he would walk up to each one of us and whisper in our ears, be careful. Be careful, because any of us can wind up in God's unfolding story at any time. He's a foreigner, maybe not even a Jew at all. He's not a priest and he's not a prophet. That part's for sure. He hasn't been following the most prominent religious teachers of the day. He maybe didn't even read his Bible that morning. He might have forgotten to say his morning prayers before he walked out the door. Simon wasn't looking to encounter God. He was doing nothing to try to position himself in the very best place to be chosen by God. He was just being normal. And unfortunately, normal usually means not looking for God at all. And we don't know anything about his life. We don't know if he was a total mess. We don't know if he had any hang-ups, if he had any regrets. We don't know if he was carrying any kind of shame around with him that day. We don't know anything. But what we do know is when Jesus needed some help from someone, he didn't stop and hold interviews first. When those soldiers pulled Simon out of the crowd, Jesus didn't say, hold up. Got a few questions first. Simon, can you rehearse the Shema? Can you name at least the books of the Torah? Can you recite something from the Hebrew prophets that has moved you? Can you at least sing a psalm so I know you've been to worship recently? Simon, let me check your checkbook. Let me see how you've been spending your money lately. Before you carry this cross with me, let me make sure you qualify to get in on what I'm doing. It's none of that. This is a foreigner who no one knew anything about, and he's the one who is chosen to step in and to help our Jesus. And I tell you, if Simon was in this room right here, right now, I just know that he would take time to sit with every one of us and say, if me, why not you? If me, if Jesus let me help him, why not you? Be careful. You could find yourself in the middle of God's great drama at any given moment. What else might he say? This part might not be as encouraging. I think he would say true discipleship always has some crosses. You remember in Luke chapter 9, long before this Friday in Jerusalem, Jesus looked his 12 disciples in the eyes and he told them, whoever wants to become my disciple will do what? Pick up their cross and follow me. Is it any coincidence that the man who actually steps in to carry Jesus's cross on this day is a man named Simon? Where else have we heard that name before? Somebody, one person, Simon Peter, of course, one of the inner three of the disciples, one of the 12 who was there that day that Jesus gave the warning that to be his disciple would mean you're going to be a person who's willing to carry some crosses. But where was this Simon Peter, on that Good Friday? We don't know. We don't know. Probably hiding out somewhere as far from those crosses as he could be. You see, it's not the Simon that we expect to be under the cross with Jesus. We expect it to be that one that said, Jesus, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's the one we expect. The Simon that we expect to be there is the one who has been there for the miracles of Jesus, the one who has eaten at the table of Jesus, the one who has heard with his very own ears the beautiful sermons of Jesus. We think that that's the one who's ready to follow him. And he is, so long as following means more miracles and more bread and more good chats together. That Simon's not yet ready for the part of following Jesus that means, Simon, you're going to have a cross to bear too. You see, true disciples aren't just looking for the make me feel good about myself, Jesus. But true disciples are walking hand in hand with Jesus, even when that hand that we're holding is bloody and bruised. Even when that path we're walking with him is painful and scary. Discipleship comes with some crosses. And I think in regard to these crosses, to these hard days, to these hard seasons, Simon would say, if he could say this morning to us, when things in your life get the most intense, remember whose cross you're carrying. Because the truth is, sooner or later, you will find yourself under the cross of Jesus beside Simon. And you may think that you are just another face in the crowd, that you're just an ordinary person minding your own business. Like Simon, you certainly haven't asked to be a part of God's big drama. You certainly haven't volunteered to take up a cross, never even crossed your mind. But whatever plan you have for your life, that might be suddenly interrupted one day. Seized by something that you didn't plan at all. And before you know it, a cross could be thrown on your shoulders and you find yourself forced to walk down a path that you never expected to walk. An accident, a diagnosis, a phone call, he's gone. You caught the love of your life being unfaithful. A failed exam that really mattered. A pink slip. Sometimes it's not a surprise, but all of a sudden you wake up one day and just realize you're stuck in a life that you really hate. And you don't know how you let it happen, and you have even less ideas of how to change it. You just feel this weight on your shoulders, these crosses. We don't ask for them. They get thrown on us. Usually when we're going about our normal days, minding our very own business. And yet once we're under them, we are not sure that we will ever get out from under that cross again. Simon was carrying a real cross that day in Jerusalem. And some of us are carrying real crosses this day, right here, just the same. And some of us will be soon, because my friends, we live long enough to know that no one is getting out of this life unscathed, right? Crosses for everyone. And that day that you find yourself under your cross, oh, this is an important day, my friends. It is such an important day because it is the day that we have a choice to make. How are we going to respond with this cross? How are we going to deal with it? What are we going to do? Will we kick and scream and shout, "Why me? I was minding my own business. I wasn't messing with anyone. Why me? Why me?" You can despise that cross. You can curse it. You can shout at it. You can kick it. You can spit on it. But I tell you, you won't get very far. That journey to Golgotha, it is a hard journey either way you take it. And there is no need to make it harder by inviting resentment to come along for the ride. Another option, when you find yourself under that cross that you didn't ask for, is to look up and to remember this isn't our cross. This is the cross of Jesus. And we're just carrying it with him for a while. And under this cross, we will come to know the heart of our Jesus like we would have never known it otherwise, if we dare to lean into that cross. We will come to love our Jesus more than we could have ever loved him if we didn't experience the cross with him. You're like, how does that make sense? Paul gets it. The apostle Paul in Philippians 3 verse 10, he says, all I want in life is to really know Christ. He's like, that's all I want. And this is a man who had all kinds of successes and awards. All I want is to really know Christ. And he said to share in his sufferings, to be like him in his death, so I may grasp the fullness of life with him. See, Paul got it. It's because it's when we walk the hard roads with someone that we finally really know them. It's on those hard roads when we finally see the real person behind the person. All of us in any given day, on our good days, we wear all kinds of masks, don't we? We can present all kinds of things, but on the hard days when our world begins to crumble under our feet, those masks, they come off. And our tears and our fears are on full display and we can't control it anymore. We are who we are. Take me or leave me. And those people who are with you on those really hard days, those are the people who know you for real, for real. People who are carrying crosses with their Jesus, those are some people who get to know Jesus for real. It's his cross, and it's our invitation to know him like never before. Isn't it a gift that he wants us to know him in that most vulnerable of places? We may bear the disease. We may bear the heartache. We may bear the grief for a while, for a long while. But our calling in that place is just to keep following our Jesus until he takes his cross back, lifting it from our shoulders and putting it back on his. But when he does that, now you have shared in something beautiful with him. You know that sacred space that's created when two people come together who have shared the same hard road. There's nothing like it. When two parents come together who have both lost children, that connection is deeper than any other. When two recovered addicts find each other who both know the same, how those demons still haunt them, there's power in that. When two cancer patients connect and walk that hard road together, that is holy ground. It's holy ground when people who have carried some of the same crosses come together because they know each other like no one else really knows them. Whatever cross we bear, and we all got some crosses, and we will, we can curse it. And we can resent it. Or we can dare to believe that Jesus actually loves us so much that he wants to connect with us in the most sacred, the most tender of places. That the God of the universe would dare to share his cross with us so we might actually know him. So we might actually get a taste of how much he really does love us. It's Jesus's cross. And sometimes he shares it with us. So because he really, really wants us to know him. To really, really know him. And that's in the midst of a dark image. Good news. Finally, I think if Simon was here in this moment and could whisper just one word about that day, I think he might tell some of us that in God's big story, everyone needs help carrying a cross sometimes. There are limits to what God's people can bear. And whenever we reach those limits, our God will send someone to help us. If we will let them help us. This is the whole story of Scripture, right? You know, David, remember that big giant he defeated when he was still just a boy, took down all by himself the giant Goliath. But there was another day in history when David couldn't win the battle on his own. We don't tell that story as much. 2 Samuel 21, there's this new mighty warrior threatening David's people. And in the story, it says David was utterly exhausted. We're not so sure that the little slingshot trick's going to work this time. Thanks be to God, a different soldier named Abishai comes to David's rescue, and he's the one that takes that giant down. David just watches this time. David needed help. There's limits to what even King David could do, and God sent help his way. 1 Kings 19, that's where you find the prophet Elijah. And it's just moments after that showdown on Mount Carmel where Elijah alone took down 400 prophets of Baal, called down fire from heaven. Down that fire came, lone man standing up for Yahweh. And the very next chapter, Elijah is exhausted and depressed and curled up in a fetal position saying, God, just take my life from me now. I've got nothing to live for. I'm done for. By the end of that chapter, God has heard the mighty prophet Elijah's cries of despair. And he tells him, Elijah, a new prophet's on the way. His name is Elisha. And he's coming to help carry the load. This is our story. And on this day, Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, reached his limit and could carry his cross no more. Jesus Christ. And God heard his cries. And he sent this passerby, Simon of Cyrene, to get under that cross with him. You see, some days we can take down our giants with a slingshot. We don't need anyone's help. Some days we can call down fire from heaven and defeat our demons alone. Some days we are pretty darn sure that we can handle anything that comes our way. And some days we can't. And some days it's all too much. And some days we need some help from heaven. And some days we need someone to step in and to hold that cross for us. And my friends, this is the beauty of the body of Christ. This is why the church and the church in person, people together, not on a screen, but people together, this is why it is so necessary. Because Christianity was never meant to be a solo project. It's not just me and Jesus hanging out. It's us leaning into Jesus together. If David couldn't go at it alone, if Elijah couldn't make it alone, if Jesus Christ himself couldn't do it alone, why do we try so hard to do it alone? What are we trying to prove? We can't. We were never meant to. When our crosses are too much, heaven is on standby, ready to send help. Just ask for help. Just receive the help. Some days we have the honor of being Simon of Cyrene, and we get to help carry that cross of a brother or sister when it's become too much for them. Whose cross have you carried lately? Other days we need a Simon. Whether we're helping or being helped, it's all the grace of God. It's all a part of our participating in God's beautiful story as it unfolds before our eyes. Ordinary old us. Ushered into the great drama of a really good God when we carry our cross with Jesus, when we help a brother or sister carry theirs. When I close my eyes, I can see him. I see this little house church in Jerusalem a couple decades later. And I see this old man sitting in the corner alone, quiet, but his demeanor totally at peace. And someone whispers, "That's him. That's him. That's the man who carried the cross. That's the man who helped Jesus when he was so broken. That's the man that Jesus changed because he let him carry his cross. He let him know him in that place. That's him, the cross bearer." We don't know much about Simon of Cyrene. He could be anyone. He could be us. And so, Lord Jesus, here we are. Some of us feel the weight of our crosses in this very moment. Would you remind us that it's not our cross, it's yours, Jesus? You can take it back whenever you're ready to have it back. But so long as it's on our shoulders, there's some invitation to know you like we would never know you otherwise. Could we not miss the opportunity? And some of us, under the weight of these crosses, we are at that breaking point. Thank you that heaven is on standby to help. Give us the courage to say we need some help. And some of us have recently released some crosses, or we're in this sweet little season right now where life is rather ordinary. Sometimes we forget that ordinary is a gift. But God, we're not lone rangers. We're part of this community. We are part of each other. We belong to each other. And so help us see the folks in our midst who are about to crumble under the weight of it all. And help us move as Simon of Cyrene in their lives to say, "I'll take this for a few steps. You just catch your breath and remember that God loves you." Whatever our calling is today, oh Lord, our hearts are open. We hear your invitation and we receive it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.